We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back to another episode of Bangarangs and Daggers. I'm your co-host out here on the East Coast, Kevin Knight, joined by a special episode tonight. We have the three-man weave back together again. Recap the season. How are you guys doing tonight? And of course, introduce yourselves again.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, it's Patrick. I'm back. I am currently standing in my garage. It's 8:30 at night on a Thursday. I'm watching the blizzard come through northeast Nebraska, and I'm sipping on Makers.
Well, I just put my kids down. My daughter, youngest daughter, is now climbing out of the crib. My oldest son is now doing enforcement, and so she was crying earlier, and I was like, why is she crying? And Ethan, my son, said, because I wouldn't let her out of her crib. I'm like, good job. And so as far as a drink, I'm gonna have a Busch Light, and I'm gonna grab that right now. So Kevin, is the Metro still going? How's that all going on?
So it is still running. It's essentially on an emergency basis. Last I saw, yesterday was the first day that it was on a quote-unquote emergency status, essentially because of ridership being down so much. They're running very limited trains that are primarily supposed to be used for people trying to get to places like the hospital, grocery shopping, stuff like that. Basically, just only absolutely needed travel. I think the percentage that I saw was 87% reduced ridership. So only 13% of a typical weekday passenger load. Although bear in mind also, they've been so terrible with reliability and safety over the last decade that they'd already been down from around the time that you were out here. The ridership had already decreased probably like 20-some odd percent roughly on an average day too. So, you know, bear that in mind for what the numbers are currently. But yeah, fun times, fun times.
You know what's more fun? Nebraska basketball. That's a lot of fun. So I think the last time that we recorded a podcast, we were getting ready for, is it Indiana?
Correct, or Indiana Hoosiers.
And I was so excited. You know, we had two Nebraska football players who I guess got to play. And that was the highlight of my season. I don't know about you guys, but how this season went, that was probably the most, joy, you know, watching Brant Banks, you know, shoot some free throws that look like a guy from an intramural league, you know. So that was kind of fun. I don't know. And then with Coach Hoiberg coming down with the flu and, being hospitalized, that's just how the season's gone. You know, we got a head coach got to leave, and then you have two football players who are in spring football decide, I wouldn't mind playing in the Big Ten conference tournament. And so and they got in. I was happy they did. And Doc Sadler, just think about that, was the head coach, I guess you could say, for Nebraska basketball once again.
While the most recent prior head coach was commentating on the game. That's quite the scenario. The current head coach had to go in the locker room because he had either influenza A or a cold. We're not really sure if you base it off of the single tweet that said he was diagnosed with influenza A, the common cold, which are two different things, and had to go in a locker room. And so two head coaches ago, the current assistant coach took over as the acting head coach, while the most recent one coach ago head coach is in the studio covering the game for the Big Ten Network. That's That's got to be a first in the history of college basketball.
Yeah, so that was great.
While two football players take the court. Like, what? Talk about March Madness.
That was... Patrick, did you get to watch that game?
Yeah, I did. I did get to watch the game. It was definitely memorable for sure. Definitely would not call it the highlight of my year. I would throw the wins over Iowa and Purdue in over that, but that's just me. You know, it's been a rough year, but yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely memorable for sure. But the highlight of that night, I would agree, was definitely to see Doc Sadler, the beloved Doc Sadler, on the court one more time, leading the Big Red.
Now, I would join you on that, Patrick, for the favorite moment of the season, in that I definitely would rank the win over Purdue for that. beating Iowa is always fun, but just for me personally, you both know that I cannot stand Purdue basketball fans, and so beating them was a particular joy for me personally.
Fully understandable. Hey, Kevin, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
What's it like to, like, root for a team in the postseason?
Well, it depends. Are we talking 2016 game that shall not be named? Or are we talking circa 2000?
We're talking any time in the last, like, 30 years.
Okay, yeah, so I mean,
what's that like? This is Nebraska ball podcast. Let's talk about stuff we don't know about. What's it like to root for a team in the postseason?
It's pretty fun. I mean, even just in the conference tournament, you know, six times I can say it's been a great joy to watch us get a banner in that. You know, a couple times there's been the end of this regular season in March where we've got to hang a banner. That's fun. And then of course you get to the NCAA tournament. And, I think I told you guys last fall on one of the podcasts, you know, I've been to a Final Four, in person. Obviously State has been to, you know, 8 Final Fours in my lifetime, but, yeah, I got to go to a Final Four in person. That was awesome, especially because it was one of the two that we actually won that game. You know, don't ask me about the game after that for that particular season, but you know, it's fun. There's always the heartbreak, you know, but 2014 comes to mind as a primary heartbreak of losing to UConn. Unfortunately, that was the only class that it spent 4 years playing for Izzo and didn't play in a Final Four. Only class was Adrian Payne and Keith Appling.
So that was the class. Not the class. The UConn team that had what's his name? There's a point guard. He plays for the Boston Celtics right now. Is that him?
Probably.
He hit that step back game winner in the. I think that they were part of. Weren't they part of the East? The Big East.
Yeah, I think so. Then.
And I'm like, come on. I'm just waiting for the name just to go into my brain. So it's like, that's a pretty good long time ago. But as far as, I don't know. I think that if Nebraska made it to the Sweet 16, and, you know, that just shows you the difference in, like, standards. I mean, like, really, like, high quality or whatever, however you want to talk about it. But if they lost in a heartbreaking fashion in Sweet 16, you just want to clap and like, hey, we made it. You know, hey. I don't know. I guess maybe it depends, but.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I think the stat was a couple seasons ago, to be fair. I want to say Izzo has made it to Elite Eight at one point in his career within the last 5 years. This was true. 50% of the time he's in the tournament, he's made the Elite Eight.
Maybe Nebraska should hire him. Would that be weird for you?
That would be pretty stunning, I'll admit. Because, I mean, he's been approached by the Atlanta Hawks. He's been approached by Who else? Cleveland Cavaliers, who are owned
by Shane Saint Grad. He should take that job. He should take the Cavaliers job. And where he needs to take it now. So then he wins, you know, he takes the job, does well, wins an NBA championship, and that's just one more thorn in the side of Michigan fans.
That would be funny. I'd rather, for you, man.
Come on.
Does the name Terrence Samuels sound right to you, Nate?
Terrence Samuels? No. Are you thinking of? No, it's Kemba Walker is the guy I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was glancing through the UConn 13-14 roster right now, trying to find it. But that did actually, us losing to them did give me a line, or a joke rather, in my brother's best man speech that later on that summer, though, that year, because he married a Kentucky fan. So we lost to them in the Elite Eight. Kentucky lost to them in the title game. So I got to make a joke that it was fitting that they got to get married in a year where their unified hatred of UConn joined them together.
That's just, you know, that's super.
I mean, I did something. The people at the wedding laughed, so at least I had that going for me.
Hey, I guess we're talking about weddings. I've given, I think, 3 best man speeches. And probably my favorite was I got the microphone and I said, you know, I've studied a lot of best man speeches, and it seems like the shorter the best man speech, the better. So thank you very much. And I handed the microphone back to the DJ. The DJ's like, what? And people started laughing. I'm like, and I had an actual speech, but. That was the highlight of my life. So thank you for bringing that up. Anyways, Patrick.
Nate, you and I have very different views on what highlights of things are.
As far as
basketball, life.
Yeah, I know you're trying to get back to basketball, right? Because we're a basketball podcast.
No, I'm just getting the point that you and I have different views on what's great. Nebraska getting blown out by Indiana is a highlight of the season. Mine was an actual win. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's like the season's already lost, and then the crazy story of 2 football players who are currently on the roster, like on the football roster, and who are both, I think, the first backup at this point, you know, or in that area. That Coach Frost all of a sudden says, oh, yeah, go ahead, take my backup, you know, I think left tackle, my backup quarterback, and put him on the team, you know, and on the basketball team. And I think it's a great story. And I just need great stories because this season was not very much fun. And then we lose our top 3, you know, essentially our top 3 players. You know, JaVale Green announced this week that he's going to the transfer portal, and then Cam Mack is going to go, or he's supposedly going to test the waters without an agent, even though all of a sudden Nebraska gets a commit from Western Illinois' Kobe Watson. Is that right?
Yeah, the Leathernecks.
Yeah, the Leathernecks. Is it the Leathernecks, or was it
Lumberjacks?
Yeah, Lumberjacks. That's kind of an inside joke a little bit. But Sean Burr decides he's going to focus on his studies or something like that, you know.
Yeah, sure he is.
he's going to try and qualify as a graduate transfer to leave.
Oh, and I'm going to focus on my engineering skills.
Yes.
I'm going to circle back for 1 second, though, to call baloney on why Nate is actually excited looks back with excitement at the Nebraska-Indiana Big Ten tournament game. His real reason, and he doesn't want to tell anybody this, is he was excited that Kevin Cross was the game leader in points for Nebraska with 23 points, and Cross went 5 of 5 from the free throw line. That's what he likes about this game.
Did he play any defense?
His favorite.
Did he play any defense? I'm just wondering.
That requires me to actually provide valid analysis, and I object to that.
I just, to me, you know, the Kevin Cross thing, I think he could become a very good player, and I'm just not really seeing it. And I'd be happy to be wrong. But, you know, of my...
Let's be honest here. If you're as scrawny as a Nebraska basketball player this year, do you want to even try to play defense in the Big Ten?
I don't know. I would want to.
I mean, think about it. No. We're not talking like we're Nate McHugh size basketball player. We're talking like we're 6'6", we're 185 pounds, and we can bench 120. Do you really want to go up against somebody who plays for Wisconsin? No, you know, that's why they don't play defense.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go against Wisconsin because I'm gonna get punched in the junk by a certain someone, Brad Davison.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So to be fair, Cross is 6'8" and 240.
He needs to be like 235, 230. And he needs to be. Grow another end. He's only a freshman. We need to remind ourselves that is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Of going forward, I think I actually have a lot of hope for him because I think just like a lot of high school players, he doesn't. You don't know how to work hard as far as you don't know how hard you have to work until you get to college. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to work this hard. Especially, by the way, if we lose, was it 16 games in a row? 16 or 17 games in a row?
17 with the Indiana loss. Brutal.
You know, only if they would have had a couple more football players. And so, I don't know. I'm hoping the kid does really well. He's of – because I guess if we want to move even forward – going to next year, Kevin Cross and Yvonne, I really should.
Udrago?
Udrago? Yeah, I've had two beers tonight, so I'm not
going to. We shall call him Pepe.
Pepe. Yvonne, and then maybe I'm trying to think. That might actually contribute next year because we have a bunch. It's going to be another roster turnover year a little bit.
Isn't Thor coming back? He's a senior next year, right?
Okay, Thor. Those are the three, I think, that are going to contribute next year. And then we got a bunch of other guys. So might be a whole new starting lineup. I don't know. It'll
be more talent. At least technically it should be on paper. But we said that for years about Nebraska football. So,
and it never happened.
It never happens.
Oh, speaking of, even Kevin's had more success on the football field than we have. I mean, with Michigan State, I mean, they were, didn't they make it? Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah. Let's not talk about what happened when they made the playoffs. The fact is they made the playoffs. That end of story. I don't.
You know who hasn't? Michigan.
Uh-huh. They haven't even made it to Indy.
Or Nebraska.
Nebraska's made it to Indy.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the playoffs, sorry.
Yeah, no. You're giving Michigan too much credit with that one.
Nebraska went to Indy, and there was a curb stomping.
Hey, they were there.
That matters.
They were there. Yeah, who hasn't been there? Michigan. But they're a blue blood. They're blah blah blah.
They have blue in their colors.
As far as
true, that's the only good color.
As far as football programs go, I think Michigan might be the most overrated. And as far as like what we look at today, because obviously no one gives much respect to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But as far as like you look at, if you just look at the names of teams in college football, you're like, oh yeah, Michigan should be a top 10 team ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times they get that. You're not going to get any fight from me that they're consistently overrated every single year in the preseason.
I think USC is probably up there right now too. So
Notre Dame.
You know, I was thinking the other name I got to talk about. I'm going to disagree with Notre Dame. I think most people acknowledge that Notre Dame is darn good, but not good enough. Does that make sense? Like, because the last few years they put with the exception of one, they put out darn good teams onto the field, but they're never great. So,
I agree with that. Notre Dame and Michigan, I put Michigan above that as far as overrated football programs.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, Michigan face plants way more than Notre Dame. That's my point.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what others. USC, I think, is in that area.
USC is there. If there is a football season this year, I would say this is probably the first year in a long time that I think most people will not be overhyping USC.
I got two good schools to add to that list.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Oklahoma.
Ooh.
The reason, hear me out, because I knew there was going to be skepticism. The reason I say Oklahoma is because, A, they play in a garbage conference. I'm going to have some fun here and bash the Big 12 for a second for fun.
They were the best conference.
Big 12 is a garbage conference, and they have garbage defense, and they're a joke. That's why.
Dude, you're a Michigan State fan. I don't think you know what offense is.
Well, of course I don't. I know. Wait. Michigan State's offense in 2015 was nowhere near as bad of a unit as Oklahoma's defense was one season ago in football. They are the worst unit to ever get into a college football playoff. What were they, 97th statistically as a unit going into the CFP?
Possibly.
As bad as MSU's offense was.
I mean, honestly, it's like comparing apples to oranges if you look at the teams within those conferences. So, you know, it's not like you're looking at the Pac-12 where you can visibly see a talent step down. You know, Big 12's got the talent. It's just it's a different type of ball they play there.
Yeah. To a degree. Mostly I'm just having some fun, you know, pulling you guys' legs. So,
although you do see the fact that they have a terrible... Do you really think we care anymore?
No, not really, but...
This podcast would have been over 20 minutes ago.
I mean, I'll probably get, like, an angry email from somebody bashing me as a Big Ten fan and, you know, why would I talk ill of Big 12 football because that blah, blah, blah. So, that's my real goal here.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Actually, if we're thinking about emails, I got an email this last week from a listener. And he was very respectful. And we kind of had a couple emails back and forth. I'm going to turn this back to basketball. He took some exception to my, I guess you'd say my defense of Coach Hoiberg this season. And he, I mean, he was critical of obviously the performance on the basketball court and all that. And I responded to him and I said, actually, this might be a topic that maybe you guys would want to chime in on. I said, this is what my response to him was, that I am not, since I'm not like, it's hard for me to be critical of the on-court stuff because I'm not there, and you never know what they're dealing with as far as how they're trying to do things. And I don't know if I notice any like bad, like stupid decisions by Hoiberg. Actually, a lot of times when he would call timeout, I said before, is that they made a big run or they stopped a run. And but if I were to be critical of Hoiberg, it was that I think they didn't do a great job of picking the greatest players for his system. Because I think the only guy, because he wants to shoot a lot of threes, and I understand that, and Matei Kvas was probably the only one suited to do so. And and he didn't, and he shot, I think, around 30%. But when he was in Seattle, University of Seattle, he shot, I think, 45-ish%. And so if you want to be critical of Hoiberg, I wouldn't do it by his decisions during the season. But maybe as – I understand. Yeah, okay, it's a whole new roster. We need to get as many players as we can and all that. But this season, I mean, Jervey Green, Cam Mack, Deshaun Burke. I mean, you're lucky that Thor – ended up being like a 45% 3-point shooter?
Probably.
Yeah. So I don't know. If you guys were, I mean, is there anything that you guys would view yourselves be critical of Hoiberg about, or not critical, I guess?
I wouldn't be terribly critical of him just based on the fact that, like you said, it was a total roster flip. A lot of the players he brought in were good. But they were good in different conferences with different styles of play and a lot of times lesser styles of play. The competition that this Nebraska ball team saw, not just in the non-conference, but especially in the conference, was unlike a majority of these guys had seen. I thought Hoiberg was very calm and collected throughout the season, considering what he had to deal with, what he had to work with, and honestly, just the slate he had to pull these guys through. There were times where I honestly, and maybe this is probably where I'd slam him, I almost kind of felt like he was biding his time to get through the season, because he knew exactly where Nebraska ball stood. He saw that early on in the year. If you listen to the early press conferences, the early losses, the early wins. He tried to pull it through, but you could just tell that this was an exceptional work in progress. And that is exactly what the season turned out to be.
Yeah, man, I'd reiterate that essentially. I think if anything, we should give him credit for having a team that, after they started that losing streak, still managed to show up in a lot of games until late February. Yeah, I mean, even the ones that turned into eventual blowouts at the end, they still played competitive throughout the entire game. They just had one bad stretch every single game in the second half through so many of those. And we're talking about arguably historically the strongest conference in terms of depth in at least modern college basketball history, if you base it purely off of advanced stats rankings. And he's doing this with a team that just honestly cobbled together with what was available, not really any particular advanced ability to jump in on any major recruits or anything. And I mean, he did a phenomenal coaching job with what he had available, and to expect him to come in, I'm sorry, to a program the caliber of what Nebraska has historically been, and immediately just flip it in a year of this level of difficulty within conference play, let alone out of conference play, to expect him to come in and just get players of Duke caliber, which I don't think anybody realistically expected, but even the type of sustained success that a program like Wisconsin has had, or, you know, what's another good example? Even Iowa, honestly, over the last 15 years or so under Fran, 10 years or so under Fran, whatever it's been, too long under Fran. It's not really particularly realistic. He's got a lot of incoming talent in terms of people who had to sit out this year that he did get. He's got some good recruits after that. And I think overall, as I joked on our podcast last week, that email is from a fan who is Mrs. Darbus. not literally, but I mean, just in good humor. It's from somebody who thinks that, you know, they're just young men in baggy shorts flinging balls for touchdowns.
Well, and here's another thing I think a lot of people forgot about was last year's Nebraska ball team was going to be gone this year if Miles was still around. And the replacements for last year's starting 5, 6, 7 main players was not good at all. And Fred got rid of him early. I would say if Miles was still here this year, with the team that he was going to bring into this season, I would give him maybe 1 or 2 more wins, maybe 3 over this year's squad, just based on familiarity.
I think he would have swept Northwestern minimum.
At minimum. But that really that wouldn't have made us a whole lot better. And it would not have put us in any position better for the following season. I think people forget, because I remember like at the end of last season going, God, if Miles is still here, we are going to be god awful next year, because he just did not have the talent to move forward past 2018-19. So,
yeah, I mean, he didn't have anybody particularly high caliber that he likely would have landed in the transfer market like he did a couple seasons ago with all the starters that were leaving Nebraska either, for that matter. So, I mean, I think I feel confident saying he might have picked up things like that overtime loss at Indiana early in the season. He would have probably swept Northwestern and maybe picked up a game at home against Wisconsin, maybe, or perhaps the late season game at Minnesota. Like those types of low hanging fruit, he would have won, I feel pretty confident in saying. But that's not to pretend like that would have somehow led to more success next season. That's more of that's what the ceiling was in years where you're against this level of competition, and in years where you're against lesser competition, you know, it's not really going to be anything that fans expect of the program. which is not, I'm sorry, fans hope for of the program. Is that better?
No, I was actually laughing because a lot of times I mute my mic and I was just checking if it was muted or not. And I went, and like, oh, that was really loud. Sorry.
also, Thor was 37.2% on the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as the Miles thing, I think I don't know how many times you have two coaches in a row where, you know, the fan base generally is, you know, you like the person, you know, and I think you love Doc Sadler, and I think you really like, you know, Tim Miles. But I think that, yeah, like what Patrick was saying, it might win 2 more games ish, you know, if we had Tim Miles, but then he'd be gone. Like, and then who knows if Hoiberg would even be an option, because he would have been, let's say Hoiberg said, I want to coach college basketball again. And he'd be wanted by a whole lot better programs in Nebraska. And it just seemed like it worked out, the fact that, oh no, his family history and all that, and all that seemed to work out. So I think he had to do it.
I don't know. You know, if we waited a year with Miles, I got a feeling we could have probably outbid Iona for Patino.
I don't think.
No. I would spend all of next season vilifying Nebraska ball for being the complete slime of the earth.
And the thing is, you know, Iona.
We might as well just rename ourselves Kansas at that point.
I mean, you kind of got to wonder.
Break out the dollar bills and the polls.
There's a very real chance that he won't end up coaching a single game for them. I mean, depending on what the NCAA did. I mean, didn't he have prostitutes there for?
He claims that he had no knowledge whatsoever of that. What he did have knowledge of, and I'll try to keep this PG-13, is he was 100% aware of the affair that he had with a fan of the program at a bar, which he is under oath as testifying that a illegitimate child that he produced with her, which he then convinced was an assistant coach's child, convinced the assistant coach that it was his child instead of Patino's child, to marry her then and raise a child as their own. He did that. And the bar episode, which produced the child, was half a minute long, according to him, under oath in testimony.
Wait, the bar episode?
I'm trying to keep it PG-13. What resulted in the child was half a minute.
What you're saying. Okay.
He said that under oath.
This isn't my child. This is yours. Don't you remember? Not really. Yeah, dude. All you, man.
And he went to Europe. And he coached more basketball, and now he's come back to Iona, and you know Iona, he could get from the NCAA, the show cause. Yep. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now you're back on.
Iona. I own a child support.
Ooh. That's a good one.
No, it's not. It was not good.
You know, in the legal world, we get show causes all the time from the court. And that show cause means show up to, you know, coming from a judge and show us why this and this and this. And it's not a big deal, you know, a lot of times. Obviously, a show cause with the NCAA is a little bit different. To me, if it was going to be the same, it'd be, all right, Patino, we have a show cause hearing or something. Show us why you shouldn't be, I don't know, suspended for 15 years.
I thought show cause in the NCAA had to do with the university who wanted to hire them. Like the university had to go and
maybe.
My understanding was that the university has to basically prove to the courts why they should be allowed to hire him.
I don't know.
I could be wrong, but that's what it was explained to me not too long ago. That's how it was explained to me, I think, right around the time we were getting rid of Pelini, and there was talk about Tressel, but Tressel was still under the sanctions the NCAA put him under. And there was talk that if Nebraska wanted Tressel, they would have to. That's where I got that. I mean,
The show cause to see if he should be able to be hired, essentially.
The university should be allowed to hire him.
Well, that's kind of the same way then, or the same kind of type of thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's just the one party's doing it over the other. That's all.
Okay.
And I'm probably still wrong. I don't know.
I do have to admit, the one thing that I am a fan of is the fact that his 2013 team did beat a certain team that I hate from my home state in 2013. And while they did get the title stripped from them, they did cheat the other team out of a title. So that's pretty fun, especially because 4 years before that, my team, my primary team, got beat out of a title by a team that also cheated, but they didn't get the title stripped from them because they're more of a blue blood than Louisville is. So
good times.
Yep. Always fun. So,
we don't have we don't have a postseason. There's no March Madness. There's a lot of March Madness. We're not going to talk about that. So, you know, we're just going to hang out. We're going to chill. We're going to watch some old basketball games. We're going to write some articles. We're going to hunker down. I don't know. What else are you guys doing?
You would actually be stunned how difficult it is to try and find an old box score or statistics or game recap for Nebraska versus Colorado State 1996.
Ooh.
For basketball. I Googled that, and the, I thought, fairly clear Google search terms that I used came back with, out of like 10 search results on the first page, I'm just like oversimplifying the numbers here. Maybe it's 15, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like 80% of those were Nebraska versus Colorado that fall of 96. One or two were Nebraska versus Colorado State football. And then another one was a different game later on in the 96 NIT that Nebraska played against Washington State. Out of Washington state of newspaper. So that shows you how much fun trying to do research for articles on Nebraska ball is.
Yeah, you kind of got to look all over. You need like you need a good dark web search to get Nebraska ball information.
I found some decent stuff in the end, but initial search terms that you would think would get it. Not,
you had to do some pretty
so intuitive
for Nebraska ball. You got to do some sleuthing.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, in comparison, like, oh look, here's 20 two different examples of games I could pick for wins in the first round. Or I'm sorry, of games in the first round. You know, and like. Out of those, like 16 are wins. So there's 16 different games I have to pick, and all of them have fairly easy brief recaps to find.
You would have had a better chance looking up information if you went to your grandma's house and pulled down her Encyclopedia Britannicas.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys.
Anything else about Nebraska ball or no? So we can move on to the last part.
Oh, we have a last part?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We have a... Should I just... I'll go with it. And this was actually kind of decided before... I mean, like probably a month ago or a month and a half ago, is that we would not be extending this podcast beyond the basketball season. And so we kind of... That's why we got Patrick back on here. Because he said this would probably be our last episode, at least for now, depending on Kevin and, you know, what I'm going on, what I'm doing. If I am still coaching high school basketball next year, then I probably will not be on the podcast, except for, you know, here or there. But Kevin, or if he finds someone else, you know, they'll take it over, and that would be great. But, you know, this is going to be it. I guess before you guys have anything to say, I was trying to think about what would I say. You know, this is my last, you know, podcast, I guess you could say, as far as it's my podcast or not, you know, mine and plus Kevin's and Patrick's podcast, because, you know, we've all had a big part of it, is I remember when I saw Coronation asking for a football writer. Or not football writers, just writers. And I said, I don't know, I'll think about it. I waited 24 hours, and I sent John an email, and I didn't hear from him for like 3 months. And then he wanted a writing sample, and then I didn't hear from him for 3 months. And that's a little bit an exaggeration. But I thought it'd be so cool to go on the radio and talk about Nebraska football. And then I'm like, oh, it'd be great to have a podcast, you know, just to be able to talk. And so because of, you know, John and the coordination and Greg, if Greg's listening yet or whatever, you know, I got to do that. So I'm pretty appreciative of that. So, we'll find out what's going to happen with this podcast going down the road. I don't know if Kevin has any words about that. If not, that's fine. But I don't know. I'll leave it up to you guys.
Well, so actually, I'll be keeping it going, not necessarily so much about Nebraska ball, so much as a few things here and there as news comes up. There's not a ton of stuff that comes up over the off season, but when it does, I'll jump on and give a brief mention of it. And then there's going to be a few things that I'm going to talk about during the off season with some episodes when I have time. I'm mostly just talking about Big Ten basketball history a little bit. I'm going to delve into kind of a fun series on the different arenas, primarily because for me, you all know I'm a big Ten basketball fan as a whole. The conference has led the country in attendance for this will I'm trying to remember the exact record. I think this will be the 43rd straight season that the Big Ten has led the country as a conference in terms of conference-wide attendance. So just some stuff like that, talking about the history of the conferences, some of the big games at each one, or I'm sorry, the arenas, some of the big games each has seen, kind of having some fun ranking them, 1 through 14 and whatnot. So stuff like that. So yeah, I hope that you all choose to listen in, and when it starts getting time for next season, we'll see what happens with it. But yeah, that's what I'll be doing moving forward for me. And Patrick, you want to say a few words?
This is a good reminder where I quit doing the podcast.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I was originally going to step away from coordination, and that was kind of a part of the reason why I stepped away originally. Just too much going on between family and work and everything, but I'm not leaving. Going to be around. If Kevin needs help when he can, I'll jump on if I can. If Nate needs help, he's on his own. And yeah, no, thanks for listening, folks.
All right. So we've never had a sign off, so we won't do that. But I guess, you know, I guess there's, oh, by the way, the I think last episode, yeah, we were teasing about a new podcast, and it's Jay Foreman's podcast. I don't know if it has a name besides just, hey, I'm Jay Foreman.
That's really all he needs.
Yeah, I know.
I think he goes by the Paloma podcast. I think I saw.
Oh yeah,
right.
The Paloma. I think it's the network because he was like the Paloma podcast. I don't know. I'm not sure, but that's that's pretty cool.
I'm really happy we got a Nebraska football podcast back. Big Red Cobcast is back on Coronation. They have shunned Husker Max, the old man network of Husker Max, and you know, it's been so long since we've had a football podcast. It'll be great to have them back.
It's a great compliment to the quality Nebraska ball content that we provide here at Of Bangarangs and Daggers. It'll be a great secondary podcast to our phenomenal.
Well, heartily, and Jay will come in and he will give us the analytics that really what makes a football team work. So it'll be great. There's plenty of content coming your way from Coronation, folks.
Oh, that's great. I think we should have done that. All right. Unless you guys got something else, I guess we'll just say good night. And I guess that's it.
Insert mandatory, follow us on everything, etc. We do it every week, so you all know that. There. I did it, Greg.
Thank you, Vox Media.